Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on 101 business principles when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? It's pretty obvious that something is wrong, very wrong with the Ten Commandments, because they've been banned from our public schools. They're banned from our public institutions. They have been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And now they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we Americans have made them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion? That's right, she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal Constitution. Now, there's at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. Every law has a penalty. You don't have to know what the penalty to the law is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call it the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or you call it karma or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happened to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package first? That's the place to start. Doesn't cost anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about 101 business principles. As I pointed out to you, over the years I have collected these little gems of wisdom. Some of them come from the book of Proverbs or from some other section of the scripture. Some of them come from businessmen like Henry Kaiser or Henry Ford. Some of them came from little small businessmen like Frank Rocha and Russell Harvey. And over the years, I've made my observations and I've practiced, I've reinvented the wheel myself 4 or 5 times. You know, if I had any sense at all, I would have listened and I would have learned from somebody else. As my old daddy told me, he said, you know, there's no substitute for experience. It is without a doubt the best teacher. But he said to me, it's a god-awful hard way to learn. Some people can't learn any other way. I'm one of those. I keep reinventing the wheel. I keep learning the hard way. But boy, I won't forget. Now, if I can pass along one of these little gems of wisdom and it helps you in your business transactions and it keeps you from being ripped off or keeps you from losing some money, well, then we've accomplished something, haven't we? Now, last time we said, after you ask the closing question, that was number 88, after you ask the closing question, shut up. Number 89 is, if you try to make every deal offered to you, poverty will be your reward. Now, I pointed out to you that you don't want to take every deal that's offered to you. Over time, you know, you should get to be to a point where you're a cherry picker, and you can pick and choose the deals that are good for you. Now, every deal that's being proposed, and some deals that are being proposed to you are going to be preposterous. I mean, they're just nonsensical. But you know, even a nonsensical deal makes sense, sounds good, looks logical to somebody. Somebody that doesn't have a background in business, doesn't have these business principles that he can rely upon or that he can fall back upon, these kinds of crazy deals, they kind of sound good. Now, I've been burned two or three times. Now, after you get burned, then you'll know, just like I do. But if you wait to get burned, and if everybody waits to get burned, then everybody's going to get burned one time. We would like to think that we could put you through school and we could teach you, and after all, that's the purpose of education. It is to teach you in advance of the experiment that you will have to do or have to run in order to find the answer that you're looking for. See, you won't know, for instance, that you should never put your money in the bank until you put your money in the bank and the banker steals it from you. Now, your banker isn't going to hold a gun to your head. He's not going to embezzle it out of your account. He's going to charge you 27% interest on your credit card. He's going to charge you outrageous fees for the services that he performs. Well, we already know that. We know that bankers are thieves. We know that bankers are criminals. So, if we're not going to do business with the mafia, why would we do business with a banker? Why would we do business with a government agency or agent? So, I've already tried this out, and it didn't work for me, and I would contend with you that it's probably not going to work any better for you than it did for me. Now, some people, they can't learn from other people's mistakes, so they have to go open a bank account, and they have to experience the theft by the bank. And then they can complain about it, and then they can rant and rave about it and jump up and down, and most of them will keep right on with their bank accounts. I don't know how many people I've talked to that complain about the excessive fees that the banks charge and what a rip-off it is, but they just keep going right back and doing business with them again. Some people can't learn. So, if you're trying to make every deal that comes down the pike, it may sound good, but not every deal is good. It may be good for the other guy, but it's not good for you. Now, poverty is going to be your reward if you try to take on all of these deals that people are offering to you. So you need to be able to say no. It's one of the more important words in business. The answer is no. Now, remember a little earlier we said, if somebody makes you an offer, come back and make a counteroffer. Now, that presumes that the deal that's being offered to you is offered to you in good faith by an intelligent businessman, not some nitwit business boy who's proposing some kind of a off-the-wall deal that doesn't make any sense. Those kinds of deals you can do without. I don't need fools to come in here and offer me these nonsensical deals. But most of the time when somebody offers me a deal, I say most, I don't know if it's half or one-fourth or two-thirds, but, you know, many times people are offering logical, bona fide deals. I'm not really enthused about it, but I'll come back with a counteroffer, and if he accepts my counteroffer, I can get real enthused because I've loaded it pretty much in my favor. Now, number 90, debt is the mortal enemy of business. Now, I don't know how many people I've talked to that go into debt as a routine. They call it working on the bank's money or working on somebody else's money. 90% of all new business startups in the year 2007 will fail. And about 99.9% of them are all going to have borrowed money. Now, I told you the answer to that. You start off with one. Multiply to 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. You grow by geometric progression. That's where the money's at. Geometric progression. Not arithmetic. Geometric. When you're working in the coal mine, you're getting paid arithmetically. when you're dealing with capital and you're multiplying your capital, you're dealing geometrically. And your capital doubles every so many years. So when they tell you invest in stocks at 5% per year, compounded over the long haul, they're not lying to you. That makes all the sense in the world. The practical reality of it is that if you go back historically to 1960 and you invest at 5%, well, $10,000 at 5% compounded for 42 or 3 years will equal $72,000. That's good. But you got 4.7% inflation and 28% capital gain, which takes $3,800 of your original capital, so you lose $3,800 on the transaction. Christians do that every day. They can't count. Jews don't. They can. No money in stocks. There's no money in commercial paper. No money in, no profit in. Bad business, commercial paper. Stocks, bonds, Federal Reserve notes. And what we're dealing with is debt and debt notes. And debt is the mortal enemy of business. That's why 90% of them fail in the first year. Stay out of debt. 91, always take your discounts. Now, there are 4 discounts. You get a senior citizen's discount. If you don't get a senior citizen's discount, you get a contractor's discount. If you don't get a contractor or a senior citizen's discount, you get a just discount. It's 10%. You get a cash discount. When you pay in $100 bills, you get a cash discount in addition to your senior citizen or your contractor discount. Now, most stores, when you walk in their business and you see credit cards up there, that guy, in order to offer that credit card transaction, has to pay 6% on every credit card transaction. So, he can't say to you, well, you're paying with a credit card, so we're going to mark this product up 6%. He can't say that to the customer. It would make him mad. So, he just prices the 6% into his product line. So, let's walk into Walmart, and they've got a credit card, don't they? They take your credit card. All right. You buy $100 worth of stuff at Walmart. And you use your credit card. Walmart has to pay $6 to the credit card company to transact that transaction. In addition to that, you have to pay. And you're going to be paying an interest rate. I mean, maybe you've got to pay a membership to get the card, and there's costs. That's two costs. The credit card company is making money for the services they provide. I don't know if their services and interest are too high. You know, it's fully disclosed on your contract. And if you signed the contract and got the credit card, my presumption is you must have agreed to the terms and conditions contained therein. If you didn't read the contract, then you become the proximate cause of your own injury. It's like building your house in Biloxi, Mississippi, and then cry to me because the tornado came or the hurricane came and blew your house down. Hell, you knew that when you built it there. I live in Tornado Alley. If a tornado comes and knocks my house down, do you think I should be real surprised? All right, so let's use our heads. And then the bottom line, when you use your head over here, is that we want to take our discounts. And the reason we want our discounts is because every dollar that we shave off the price goes straight to our bottom line. Straight to the bottom line. That's straight profit. And that 6% is a discount. And that's because I'm paying cash. I'm not paying with a credit card. So you're going to save that 6%, but he's got that priced into his product. But the businessman, he doesn't say to you, oh, you're paying cash. Well, I'm going to knock off an extra 6% because you're paying cash, and I've got that priced into the product because, you know, many people pay with a credit card. He's not going to do that. You've got to tell him. You've got to say, I demand that I get my discounts. And so I just have a little line that I tell people, you know, when I go in, I say, I pay cash. I don't need a receipt, and I take all of my discounts. Now, normal people, when they run a 30-day credit account, say at Thriftway Lumber Company, you're a contractor, they give you a 20% discount. You don't pay sales tax because there's no sales tax when you buy it for resale. And you're not paying with a credit card, and you don't get credit card with a discount as a contractor. You got to write a check. So you don't get that discount as a contractor, but you get 20%. And then you're not paying the sales tax anyway, and you're not paying the credit card fee, so that's not applicable. So you get a net 20%. Now, you got to pay your account up by the 10th of the month, and you get a 2% discount. It's called 2% net 10. Let's suppose that you bought $10,000 worth of goods down at Thriftway this month. Times 0.02 is $200. Now that's a $200 profit by paying the $10,000 that you owe, and you pay it in the first 10 days of the following month, you deduct $200. It says 2% net 10. I don't know how many businessmen I've seen do this, but they'll just send the whole $10,000. I guess they expect the $200 credit to be credited to their account, or they're going to get a check. They're going to get nothing. You have to deduct the $200 on your end, the 2% net 10. So don't forget to take your 2% discount. And that comes in addition to if you're running an account. Now, if you're running an account, then the merchant runs the risk of getting stiffed. Remember, we already discussed credit business is bad business. I don't do very much credit business. I can. There are other people that give me credit. I extend credit from time to time to students that have dealt with me before. If I know somebody has bought and sold and traded with me in the past and he's paid me and so on, I'll extend him credit. I don't charge him interest. I don't charge him sales tax or a credit card fee. All right, so now here's where your savings are. You get a 10% senior citizen and a 10% cash discount. You take 6% off because you're paying cash instead of a credit card, and you're not taking a receipt, so you don't pay the sales tax. Now, what typically happens when there's no receipt? There's no paper trail, and so the merchant doesn't pay the sales tax. In fact, he might even go so far as to take an inventory shrinkage, depending upon his circumstances and his contracts and his licenses and agreements. Some of that can be illegal, but then that's not my problem in life. That may be his problem. It's not mine. I pay cash. I take all of my discounts. So what that nets out to be is 33%. 10% senior citizen, 10% cash, 6% for the credit card, and 7% for the sales tax is 33%. And that's pretty standard in industry. But it's followed with these words. I pay cash. I don't need a receipt. I take all of my discounts. The businessman should pick right up on that and say, yes, sir. And you get a 10% senior citizen, 10% cash. And then you say, what about the credit card discount and what about the sales tax? Oh, yes, of course. We'll take 6% off on the credit cards, and I'll take care of the sales tax. All right, now we can make a deal. And if this guy's not smart enough to make the deal over here, well, then maybe he's only going to give you 20%. Well, there's other people out there to do business with. Now, some other guy might give you more than this 33%. But this is pretty standard in the industry. And that 33% now goes right straight to your bottom line. Let me show you how this works. The merchant takes $100 and he goes out and he buys some merchandise. He brings it into his store and marks it up to $200. I walk in the door and I see the price is $200. And I say to the man, I don't need a receipt. I pay cash and I take all my discounts. He says, okay, you look like an old man. You get 10% senior citizens discount. You get 10% for cash. You get 6% because you're paying cash and no credit cards, and I'll take care of the sales tax. That's 33%. All right. Well, 33% of $200 is $67, isn't it? $66. So he's going to make $33 on the transaction, and then I'm going to save $67. But I've still got to pay him the $100. That's his cash out of pocket. Plus, I got to pay him his profit, which in this case is 33%. It's not 100%. He doesn't double his money. But then I'm buying in bulk. Now there's another discount here that you can get. It's called quantity discount. And the thing that's important for this and the businessman is, let's suppose he goes out and he pays $100 and buys some merchandise and brings it down, and you buy it in 1 week. He makes $33 off of his $100 in 1 week. If he could do that 52 times in the year, he'd make 33 times 52, which would be $1,716. Well, that's 1,716%. That's a hell of a lot better than the 5% you get on your stocks, isn't it? Remember I said to you I wouldn't get out of bed for 5%? All right, now if the guy made $33 on his $100 investment in 1 year's time, he made a 33% profit per annum on his $100 investment. What if he does that every week? He makes 52 times that $33, doesn't he? So let's multiply that out. He made $33 times 52, which is 1,716. Now he had $100 that he was investing, and his $100 produced a $33 profit. If he did it in a year, he made 33%. In this case here, he made 1,716%. Now that's a profit margin. Now somebody's going to say, well, that's an obscene profit. What the hell is obscene about it? It's common. In fact, I took my discount. I took my 33% discount not only on his profit, I took the 33% discount on his capital. Which brings us to another very important business principle over here. And that is, you have to guard your capital with your life. That's number 97. I'm skipping ahead here. You know, your capital grows geometrically. Let's suppose you made you got $100 to invest, and you invest your $100 into olive oil, and you turn around and sell the olive oil for $200. You doubled your money. If you do that in a year's time, and you just keep doing that year after year, you're going to become filthy rich. What if you could do that in less than a year? What if you could sell that in a week and do that 52 times? You'd have 5,200. That'd be 5,200% per annum off of your $100. Profit margins, you know, can be pretty spectacular when you're a trader at law on a cash basis, dealing in gold and silver coin, following the biblical laws and following the business principles. Now, I know a lot of businessmen that buy, sell, and trade and make good money, make good profits. And that's why I keep telling you, you know, that the money isn't in getting a real job, you know, and working in the coal mine or working as Mr. Goodwrench. You can make a living. I mean, you don't have to be real smart to go out and get a job and make a living. But you have to know something in order to make 5,200% markup or 5,200% profit on your investment capital. And you've got to guard your investment capital with your life, because many of these people, I mentioned pilots and doctors, they lose their investment capital regularly. They're just constantly investing in all these off-the-wall, fly-by-night operations, and they lose their investment capital. The thing that keeps them solvent is that they make so much money anyway, it doesn't make any difference. They can't make money with their capital, but they can make money arithmetically on what they're selling. That is, their services to the airline or their services to their patients. If airline pilots could make business profits, they wouldn't be airline pilots. They'd only be a pilot long enough to get their investment capital, and then they'd go into buying, selling, and trading, and they'd quit the airline because there isn't enough time to fly airplanes and make money. And the money isn't in flying airplanes. The money and it isn't buying, selling, and trading. And there's just no end of deals out there. Boys and girls, we can go out and mine deals, create deals, look for deals, find deals. And pretty soon, you know, when people find out that you're a trader, they'll be calling you on the telephone every day offering you deals. Our telephone rings off the wall here with people calling with all kinds of deals. Deals are everywhere. We don't take every deal that comes through the door, but because, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, and I can't do every deal, but there's just no end to opportunity here. So remember, I pay cash, I don't need a receipt, and I take all my discounts. And you always guard your capital with your life. Let me go on here to number 92. Buy low, sell high. You ever heard that? Buy low, sell high. Some people pervert a little bit and they say, well, I buy high and sell low and I make it up on volume. Well, it's funny. It's preposterous, and that's why it's funny. But it is true, you want to buy low and sell high. Now, most people, if they're in stocks today, are buying high. See, stocks today have a P.E. ratio of about 20 to 1. That means that if you bought a $100 stock, it would take you 20 years to get your $100 back based upon the dividends that they're paying. I don't know what the hell the return is on that, but that's stupid. I mean, if I had $1,000 to invest in stock, I could take the same $1,000 and go invest it in olive oil and come out here and peddle the olive oil and double my money, and I could do it in 30 days. I always ask my students, I said, if I gave you a dollar bill right now, and I said, occupy until I come, and I come back 1 year from now, could you invest that $100 in something or anything and then turn it into $2 so that when I return and I ask for my dollar back, you could return it with $1 of profit? And most people would say, well, yeah, I could do that. Well, sure, you know, you could go down here to a flea market and find a pocket knife for a dollar and then go out and just start asking your friends, well, I got this pocket knife here, would you give me $2 for it? And you'll find somebody that'll pay you $2 for that pocket knife. Doubled your money. All right. If I gave you $2, could you invest that in something and then sell it and give me $4 when I come back? Most people would say, well, yeah, I could do that. Well, how about $1,000? $2,000? How about $10,000 or $20,000? How about $100,000 or $200,000? You know, all you're talking about here is that when you're dealing with $100,000, you got to buy bigger, better things. That's why I said the other day, Donald Trump, you know, if you offered him a deal that made $5,000, I think he'd laugh at you. And no, son, I'm too busy. I haven't got time to dink around with $5,000. My daughter the other day, she made a sale and she got the commission on the sale. Took her about 5 minutes to make the sale. And her commission on the sale was a commission. It's 10%. But the sale was pretty significant. I think it was about $3,000. So she made about $300 in 5 minutes. Well, how many 5 minutes are there in an hour? Well, there's 12. Well, 12 times 300 is $3,600 an hour. Hell, that's better than Charlie Hogue, you know, going down there and doing the job in half time. Remember, I told you that the money is in sales. I can sit here and demonstrate that to you over and over again. Now, you're not going to make this $300 sale in 5 minutes. You know, 12 times an hour, 8 hours a day. I'm not stupid. But that's better money and easier money than going to work in a coal mine, isn't it? Now, I'm not opposed to you coal miners out there, and God bless all of you. We need you. Thank God we got coal miners mining coal so that I got electric lights. You know, I'm grateful to you. But there's no money in it. And if you're happy, you know, risking your life to mine coal, that's not, no, no hard feelings, you know, from me concerning that. But, you know, if you're a coal miner and you want to make $3,600 an hour, why don't you call me on the telephone and say, Mr. Gordon, I'd be interested in learning your business and business school and business principles so that I could go out and make a better living for my family than working in the coal mine. Now, keep in mind that only about 5% of you people listening to me right now can do this. And that's because in order to be a salesman, you have to be an extrovert. And 95% of people are introverted. They're introverts. They're not extroverts. They're introverts. Bill Clinton is a natural salesman. Bill Clinton and Hillary, George Bush, both of them, those guys are all extroverts. And that's why they're politicians. That's why they're leaders. That's why they're the head and not the tail. Now, if you're an introvert, you can train yourself to be an extrovert. It isn't easy, but it isn't impossible. You can make that conversion. You can turn that over. And there's some things that you have to do in order to learn how to be an extrovert. You know, you gotta do something. You gotta get up and work. If you want to do that, you can join that 5%. But introverts, of and by themselves, they can't sell, and an introvert that can't sell can't make money. But an extrovert can. So if you're an extrovert, you know, you get along well with people and you don't have a problem talking to people, you know, and one thing or another. Well, then we can train you to be a businessman instead of a business boy, and we can do that pretty fast. So there's hope for everybody, but if you're an introvert, you've got to convert to extrovert, and if you're an extrovert, you don't have to convert. You can just go right to work and you can start selling. And the money is in sales. It's not in labor or arithmetic progression. It's in geometric progression, and it's in business. Business is inextricably woven into sales. And I want to point this out. All of you introverts are also salesmen. When you got that job in the coal mine, do you remember you had to go up to the office at the coal mine and fill out an application? You had to go in there and sell your labor. And you did. You went in there. They're in the market to buy labor. And so you went in and you sold 8 hours a day, 5 days a week of your labor to this company. And they bought it from you. And they said, well, here's what we're paying for that. Now, that's an introvert, and he made a sale. And it's an arithmetic sale. He's not going to get rich, but he's going to make a living. Now, if you'd like to convert that, if you can sell yourself, if you can sell your labor to a company, I think you can sell other things to other people. And I figured that out when I was a youngster. I was making $3.28 an hour. And they took my labor and they sold it. Shop rate was $12 an hour. They gave me $3 and they sell it for $12. I said, you know, I think I could sell it for $6 to the same people at half price and make twice as much. And I did. And so can you. I got to give you a mid-course reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. And if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We're open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. That can also be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417 573-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. And again, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about business principles, 101 of them. And we're just about to the end. We're in the 90s now. Number 90 is debt is the mortal enemy of business. 91, always take your discounts. 92, buy low, sell high. Sounds like a simple process, but you've got to know what the value of the product is in order for you to buy low. People are out buying stocks today with a P.E. ratio of 20 to 1. It'll take 20 years to get your money back. That's just to break even. It takes 20 years. Hey, kids, that's not business. That's business boy stuff. Now, I told you about pay cash. Don't need a receipt. Now, number 95, honesty is the best policy. I talked to you a little bit about this thing of theft. Business boys steal from their customers. Then their customer gets upset with them, and they don't come back and buy again. Now, I have 8 schools to sell, and most people buy 5. Very rarely do people buy all 8 of our schools, but they buy 5 on average. So a guy comes in here, and he buys one school, and I steal from him. Is he going to come by and buy a second school? Or a third or a fourth? No. Now that means I got to go out here and I've got to advertise and sell and I've got to create new customers. And that all costs money. You know, if you're trying to create new customers, that takes a lot of time, effort, and energy. And all you got to do is deal honestly with the one customer you've already got, and he'll come back and buy from you again. I do. I go back and buy. I've got a broker that I buy from out in Idaho, Frank, the gold broker. And I've been buying from that guy for, started in 82. 92, 102, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've been buying from that guy for 25 years. He's never stolen from me. He's never shorted me a dime. He's always dealt honestly with me and fairly. And when I needed something, he'd help me. If I called that guy today and I said, "Hey, Frank, I need $5,000. No questions asked. I get it. I don't do it because, you know, if you do that a couple of times, you wear out your welcome. But, you know, in an emergency, you know, if you need it because there's something happened, you know, the transmission in your car blows up and you're 2,000 miles from home and you need some help, and then you've got friends that'll jump in there and help you. And this guy, the broker over here, he won't take you on. I mean, you've got to know somebody to get him to take you on. He's got so much business. He has to turn it away. He's got minimums now. I mean, this guy's got so much business, he's getting like Donald Trump. I mean, he's not interested in these little deals down here. He's a cherry picker. He just picks the bigger deals. It isn't that he doesn't like. Now, he'll do a little deal for me because I'm an old buddy, but I'm just telling you that after a while, you know, you get to the point like a Donald Trump, he doesn't do $1,000 deals. They all got to be $1 million deals. I imagine, you know, if you're talking to Bill Gates, I mean, the guy's worth $37 billion. I'll bet you that if you want to talk to this guy and you got something less than a $100 million deal, I'll bet you Gates would shift you off to his secretary. I mean, he'd probably talk to you for $1 billion, but, you know, for $50 million, probably you have to talk to the secretary to do that. So I'm just pointing out, as time progresses along and you become more and more successful in life, you know, pretty soon, honesty being the best policy. You know, it sounds kind of like a trite cliche. I'm just telling you from personal experience, from an old man, you can only cheat a guy once. And then make sure you score on him big, because once you cheat him, Doesn't make any difference if you cheat him out of a dollar or $100 or $100,000. Once you cheat that guy, he's not going to do business with you again. So honesty is the best policy. 96. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I mentioned this a little earlier. People are getting screwed by the banks and they keep going back to the bank. You people down on the Gulf Coast have been screwed over by the insurance industry and you go right back out there and buy more insurance. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So you people down here on the Gulf Coast, you know, you're the proximate cause of your own injury. And what you want you want to live down here in paradise. Paradise has got a side effect called hurricane. You want to blow your money on insurance, which you know that they're going to cheat you. They cheated you once, they're going to cheat you again. And so you go down there and you borrow more money. That's your first mistake. And then secondly, then you got to insure the loan. That's your second mistake. And then when the damn hurricane comes 10 years from now, you're going to say, hey, Gordon, come on down here and donate your time and help me rebuild my house. And I'm going to sit up here and say, well, listen, I wouldn't ask you to come up here and help me rebuild my house because I live in Tornado Alley. If a tornado comes, I'm the proximate cause of my own injury. And you people down there are the proximate cause of your own injury. Take care of yourselves. Business is inherently selfish. I'll take care of George Gordon. You take care of you. Now, number 97, you always guard your capital with your life. Never, never, never risk your capital. That's gamblers that do that. Gamblers take risk. Businessmen don't. And never risk more than you can afford to lose. And so, there's an old story called the Queen Mary story. Now, the Queen Mary is a great big ship tied up down Long Beach. Very impressive piece of work. And I went down there and looked at it. It's humongous. It's a big ship. It weighs 43,000 tons or something like that, 46,000 tons. And it's tied up at the dock. Now, let's suppose that I own that and I come up to you and I say, listen, you look like a bright, intelligent young man. Would you like me to give you my ship, the great Queen Mary? And you'd probably sit there and say, yeah, man, wow, thank you, Mr. Gordon, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I'm going to sign the papers. We'll go to a closing and we'll sit here and we'll get a couple lawyers in on the deal and maybe a couple bankers and we'll have a big closing. No cost to you whatsoever. I'm just going to give you all of my right, title, and interest in the Queen Mary. And let's assume I've really got some right, title, and interest. So I sell it to you. All right, now you own the Queen Mary. Now I turn around to you and I say, okay, well now that you own the Queen Mary, the dock down here is $7,000 a day. I got that. Yeah, just tying that ship up right there costs $7,000 a day. So they got to make $7,000 a day just to pay for the space down there. That's the rent. My God, how much is that? $7,000 a day times 365. That's $2.5 million a year. Now, they've got restaurants on board this ship, and they've got curio shops, and you know, thousands of people go in there every day, and so on. Now, that's all well and good, and there's rent to be collected and one thing and another. But, you know, that's a deal that's way over your head. That's right. That's a deal, you know, for you average coal miners or you average truck drivers, that's a deal that you can't handle. So instead of saying, well, yeah, I'd like to have the Queen Mary, that's a fool's errand. You know, that's a guy going after pigeon milk, you know. That isn't going to fly. Donald Trump could handle that deal in a heartbeat. Bill Gates could handle that deal in a heartbeat. He could probably even pay you $20 million for the ship and pay the $2.5 million dock fee and then finance and make that thing run and make money with it. But the average guy couldn't do that. And so for what little bit of capital you've got, you never want to risk your capital. And you risk your capital when you get into a business transaction. the business transaction can be real good. You could even say, gosh, I could take this ship and tow it up to Alameda, California, and sell it for scrap, and I'd have about $10 million worth of scrap out of it. But it's going to cost you about $2 million to tow it up there. I mean, you know, the barge company or the towing company, the tugboat company, they got to get paid. They got a crew of men, you know, that's sitting out here. They got a multi-million-dollar tugboat out here they're making payments on, and they got to have their money. So there's deals, you know, in business. You've got to have some capital. You got to have some money. So you start off small. You start off by saving up $1,000, $2,000. That's your capital. That's your investment capital. So you're not big enough to do a Queen Mary deal, but you're big enough to do, you know, some little deals down here at the bottom. You know, you might go out and buy a car for $1,000 and sell it for $1,500. Go take your $1,500 and take $500 profit and take $1,000, buy another car and go sell it for $1,500. You know, if you could do that every week, you'd be making $500 a week, wouldn't you? Buying and selling cars off of your same $1,000. Do that 52 times. Make $500 52 times in a year. Buying a car for $1,000 and selling it for $1,500. Now that's what your investment capital is for, and that's what you do with it. So you guard your capital with your life. Number 98. Business does not stop at 5 o'clock. Employees stop at 5 o'clock, and that's why they're employees. But business doesn't stop at 5. Business stops when you have finished the job. And the job may not be finished until 8 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night. Or in the case of the guy that did my transmission, he worked straight through. He didn't get to the end of the day and then say, well, Mr. Gordon, it's 4:30, it's 5 o'clock, it's time for me to quit. Going home, I'll be back at 8 o'clock in the morning to punch in. Remember our deal? Our deal was, I've got to be in Cleveland, you know, in 2 days. I want you to put that transmission in, and I don't want you to stop. And he said, I will put that transmission in. I will put it in 1 day. I gave him an incentive. I put a carrot out in front of him. And then he worked until 5 o'clock, and then he just kept right on working. He never slowed down. And he put that thing together, and then he got back underneath the machine, and he installed it. And the next morning at 8 o'clock, he was ready to go. He said, we're ready to go test drive it, and we test drove it, and we came back. He made some adjustments, and about noon, I left. And I left Buffalo, never looked back, never been back since. He got paid his money, but he didn't quit at 5 o'clock either. But hey, he wasn't working for $15 an hour either. He got paid an extra $300 for staying on the job. He got paid an extra $400 for doing the job in 1 day, plus $300 if he could get me out of there at a certain time. Plus, he was making his regular profit, whatever his regular profit is, for doing a transmission. And I would imagine, you know, he pulls a transmission, he buys $200 or $300 worth of parts. I don't know how much goes into one of those, but I'm guessing $300, $500 maybe, max. $500 worth of parts, down at the parts store, he comes back, he puts them in. It took him about 2 hours to put all the parts into the transmission. It probably took him an hour and a half or 2 hours to tear it down, throw everything out, probably a couple hours. I think he probably had 4 or 5 hours maybe in rebuilding the transmission. And it took him about, an hour and a half to take it out and maybe 3 or 4 hours to put it back in. So, boys and girls, he's getting paid hundreds of dollars an hour to do that transmission work. He's no slouch. He's getting paid good money. And it was worth the money to me because I had to be in the next city to talk to the next audience. And I've got to be there, whether I got to fly there or walk there or take a taxi cab or drive my motorhome, I got to be there. I've got a schedule to meet. I just want to point that out. Employees, the day stops at 5 o'clock, but for a businessman, it doesn't stop at 5. It stops when the job is done. 99. Just because a business is efficient doesn't mean that the business is profitable. And I've seen a lot of guys that are really efficient. I mean, they got hot and cold running secretaries everywhere. They these guys pride themselves on punctuality, and they're just, I told you about this transmission. I mean, this place is messy. It's dirty. I don't think he'd ever swept the floor or wiped up the grease and the transmission fluid on the floor. It was a terrible place. And his office was full of stuff and parts and grease. God, you couldn't sit down. I mean, it was terrible. But this guy's making a lot of money. I don't know if he's got a lot of customers, but his profit margin was just fine. He didn't have any problems with his profit margin. He did a good job for me. And he had cars all outside he's working on, you know, and he stopped working on those, and he worked on mine. He did my job. So I'm presuming that's, you know, a very inefficient businessman. But I'm telling you that his business was very profitable. Not clean, tidy, and neat, but very profitable. I've seen guys that are so neat and tidy, they make me feel bad, make me feel like a dirty pig. But they're not very profitable. And sometimes they get by and sometimes they don't. Now, number 100, I said a good name is better than gold. And 101, everybody has 10 friends. Tuck that one away in your heart. A good name is better than gold. And I'd rather have a good name than I would have the gold, because with the good name, I can always make the gold. But with a bad name, it's hard to make gold. Hard. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story over here. I had a guy one time come in here, and he wanted to go to school. And he was an extrovert. He was a salesman. And the school here, you know, in Federal Reserve note dollars, is about $3,000, at least the school he wanted. And he said, I have a grandfather's clock. Came from Germany. Cost $4,000. And I want to trade you that clock for that class. And so this clock now is down in Odessa, Texas, or someplace like Midland or someplace down there in Texas. And we were up in Dallas. And so he'd already paid for his school up in Dallas, and he wanted to do another school. And so he said, I got no use. This clock now, we paid $4,000 for it, brought it in from Germany, and it's one of these old world timepieces, and it's a dilly. And he had a brochure, and he showed me the brochure, and didn't mean anything to me, but he showed it to my wife. Now that's getting really serious. See, you show me a picture of a grandfather's clock, and oh well, that's real nice. Now you show that to a woman, and right away that gets her excited. Boy, she was excited, and she told me how that clock was going to fit into the sunroom and the spot that it was going to go to, and how important that was to her in one thing and another. And I said, well, sweet, if you want that clock, you go ahead and make a deal with the guy. Now, here's a guy with a clock that he paid $4,000 for. Now, the cash value of this clock is half that, $2,000, and the cash value of it, if he wanted to sell it for cash, would be $1,000. So, if the guy had it there in his car, I'd give him $1,000 in $100 bills, $100 bills. If I wanted to buy it from him, and I was interested in the clock, its maximum value would be $2,000, half of its original price. But I got to commend this guy's name, Smith. And old Joe Smith, he said to me, now he's a salesman. He was not real estate. He was insurance salesman. That's what he was, real con man. And God, he was just as smooth as olive oil. I mean, this guy was really smooth. And he pointed out to me that my cash in my product wasn't very much, and that he was trading hard goods for soft. I was a soft trader and he was a hard trader. And when he walked out of there, he walked out with the class for the hard trade clock. Now, it is true that when you're trading over here and a doctor says, well, I'll trade you office calls for your Harley Davidson motorcycle, that's not exactly a fair trade, because the guy with the $10,000 Harley Davidson over here had to pay $5,000 to put that on his floor. So he's only talking about making a $5,000 profit, whereas the doctor, he's got he's got a $10,000 trade. It's all of his labor. He's not spending any money out here to get the goods, or very little. So those are called soft traders versus hard traders. So when you're out here dealing in trade, you know, you got to be a horse trader. You got to know a little something about people's profit margins. And so old Joe, he was right. You know, when you're selling insurance, he gets a 50% commission, you know, first time out. And then he gets this residual. You know, he's getting paid 5% every time you renew that. So these insurance guys over here, you know, they're soft traders, and they're just as smooth as olive oil. I mean, these guys are good. So old Joe, he makes this trade. Now, the reason I bring this to your attention over here is that Joe traded something that he esteemed least. He had absolutely no use for this clock whatsoever. Now, he needs to find somebody that wants it. Now, his mother wanted it, and she paid $4,000 for it. And my wife wanted it. Now, my wife, she wouldn't pay $4,000 for one. She'd just keep on wanting it. But for $2,000, you know, I'm sitting there saying, I don't want to put out $2,000 cash. But, yeah, I would trade one of my schools because I'm trading my profit. And the actual cash out of my pocket isn't that much. So I'm actually cash out of my pocket into those goods. In this case, it was a grandfather's clock. Can you see what a neat deal that is in trade? All right, now trading is called barter, and barter is extremely profitable for everybody. The thing that is a disability about it is that when you're trading a grandfather's clock, you've got to find somebody that wants a grandfather's clock. People oftentimes will look at our website and they'll see our barter page. Those are things that I would consider taking in trade. So if you've got something that you're thinking about trading, you go to our barter page. If you've got something and it's a hard good is much better than soft. So if you're sitting there saying, well, I would like to trade these hard goods, you know, like a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, you know, or a Honda or a car or a pickup or something like that as a hard trader, you know, think about trading those goods because that goes right straight to your bottom line. We're not talking sales tax and income tax and social security tax and so on. We're trading like for like. So trade is very, very, very valuable. Always tuck that one away in your heart. All right, there's 101 business principles. Business principles that I practice day in and day out. It's the way we do business here at the law school. If you like it, give us a call. And we'll see if we can do business. We'll see if we can make a business deal. All right, we're about out of time again, boys and girls, so we'll have to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. Let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.